Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Genesis chapter 26, very familiar passage of scripture. Verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides a previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt." Everybody say, "Don't go down to Egypt." Don't go down to Egypt. "Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you." He will what? He will be with you. "I will be with you. I will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm on oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all of these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me." Everybody say that. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Go down to verse 12 of the same chapter. Isaac planted crops in the land that same year and reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. How wealthy? Very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You've become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug at the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Verse 19. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named that well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then he dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. He moved from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Raboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, so we will flourish in the land." Let's all say that. Now the Lord has given us room, so we will flourish in the land. Just a couple more, three more verses, verse 23. From there he went to Beersheba, and that night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the Lord your God, your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you, and you will increase in number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Father, thank you for what you've done already in this service and what you'll do now in the time that remains. Holy Spirit, come and pour out upon us, giving us living understanding. I bind demon power in every distraction that would attempt to rob your people from truth. I pray that faith would be released, even written upon our own hearts with your finger. I would to God that you would come and lay hands on all of us so we would end up underneath the pews transformed by your power. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Ghost, come. We won't stop you. We won't hinder you. Would you lift your voice and just call on the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. We call on you. Come, give us revelation that causes revolution in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. What do you do when hard times come? What is your immediate response When hard times come, you're like, oh, I pray in tongues. I open my Bible and I pray. Good, I'm glad. It's not always my immediate response sometimes. Sometimes I have a knee-jerk response of going to get ministered to by brother and sister Frigidaire. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you just kind of like all of a sudden you find yourself in stress for a second. I pray without ceasing. I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in the Spirit a lot. But sometimes I just find myself leaning and looking and going, what are you doing? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're looking in the fridge, looking to get ministered to by some food, maybe. Some of you worry, some of you fret, some of you quit. If you face a really hard time, would you quit? Say, I don't know. I don't know if I've faced a hard time like that. I've faced many challenges in life, maybe not as many as some of you, maybe more than others. I've learned something. I've learned that God will always bring me through. I've seen too much, know too much. I've had too much breakthrough, too much revelation. God has done so much for me, my family, for this church, that doesn't matter whatever comes. Somebody said, are you going to be all right? And my response, no matter what we're going through, is I will always be all right. Oh, we might weep, grieving. We might travail. We might go through things. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's morning somewhere. Come on, somebody say it's morning somewhere. You're going to make it no matter what you go through, no matter what the difficulty, no matter how much the odds are stacked against you or what the report may be. Hard times come. I'm going to tell you, those people that lost all their money in that bank, the 16th largest bank in the United States just failed. The Silicon Valley Bank just went under. 16th largest bank in America. And I'm sure there's things that will come out about that. If you had all of your money in that bank and you were standing there, it looked like something out of the 1930s or 20s, the stock market crash or something, and people waiting in line to get their money, and there is no money. It's gone. If you had your money in that bank, it's smoked. It's history. And there's no FDIC that's going to be able to protect it. And FDIC, federal... FDIC, the insurance, covers up to $250,000. What if you had a whole lot more in that bank? Well, you're out. And I don't know all the components of that, but that's a hard time for many people because the tech companies, many have crashed, and there's issues and challenges in Silicon Valley. And there are people that are out of all their money tonight. They don't know what they're going to do. This is a challenging time here in this text where COVID has hit famine has hit the land. You see, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we went through COVID. It seemed extremely hyped. I've told you before, we watched Contagion. I think we watched that movie 3 times. We're on the way through the fourth. Because we were just sort of mocking it, you know, not, I know people lost their lives. I'm not mocking that, but I just feel like I don't yield to fear. I'm not going to be afraid of any disease. I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of anything that's going to come my way. God's with me. The Lord is with me. I'm with him, more accurately. And when God's with you, it does not matter what you go through. He will bring you through. He will bring you through. He will bring you up. He will bring you over. So, you know, we're watching Contagion and sort of mocking all the hype and the masks and everything. I don't know how you feel about that. But like I said, if you see me running in fear, you want to run. It's just not something I'm given to. I'm not given to fear. So we're watching this thing like, oh, the pandemic. So I think it's on the fourth time. And on the fourth time, it had gotten more and more serious in the earth with COVID. We weren't quite sure what was happening. The fourth time through Contagion, I stopped it and I said, you know what? This is not funny anymore. It's not funny anymore. Where is this going to go? And we prayed. There's this famine in Canaan's land. And there is so many that live in famine. Oh, I'm not talking about a food famine. I'm not talking about sickness or infirmity. I'm talking about a spiritual famine. Most denominations were birthed in the fire of revival. You can look and study through the Methodist movement. The Methodists now are mostly dead. Mostly. There are those who are on fire in the Methodist church, and there are some pastors that are ablaze with vision and passion and the fire of the Spirit, but mostly. Go look at the Methodist logo. It has a flame in the middle. You know what the flame is? It's the fire of the Spirit. The Methodists were birthed in the fire of the Spirit of God. And they had groups like the Shouting Methodists. Anybody ever heard of them? The Cane Ridge River Revival. You ever heard of that? Great revival in Kentucky. And I believe that the wells, getting ahead of myself a little bit, in Kentucky have been reopened. There's revival in Kentucky again. I don't know the current state of Asbury, but I know that there's fires of revival. We have friends, Jason Adair and others, that live in Kentucky, and God's pouring out his Spirit. But most places, most churches are in famine. You say, are we in famine? I pray no. I've told we are not, but I don't want to get out my little measuring stick of where we are in revival. That's crazy. I think we might be at the Nazareth level, ankle deep, outpouring, but I'm contending for more. How many of you want more of God's power? So you look at the Lutheran church, I mean, the Reformation, Martin Luther. I was talking to a Lutheran pastor a while back, and he was telling me about how they have got an increase in their church. I'm like, oh, what kind of increase? Well, there's this local grower, and buds, as in cannabis, and he's very prosperous, so I made him my treasurer, so we have a lot of increase. Oh, yeah, you heard me right. You can't even make that stuff up. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. How many of you know that's like, you've lost it altogether. The wells, denominationalism have choked out the move of God. But I do believe God's going to visit the Catholics again. I do believe that God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. I said all flesh, not Christian flesh. I said all flesh, not just Pentecostal flesh, not Presbyterian flesh. All flesh, God's going to pour out his Spirit. Give a big shout and say amen. And so here's Isaac, and he's in a famine. And this text gives us some profound keys of what to do when you're facing a hard time. And it's rather profound. Let's look at the text. He's going to move down to Egypt. He's going to go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is always a picture of bondage, but Egypt was not susceptible to famine because of the Nile. Egypt had, it was just a unique place geographically where it didn't have as many famines. Of course, they had the 10 plagues. I'm not talking about that, but later on, Egypt was a place where people would be protected. But for us as Christians, you know what Egypt means? It means going back to the world. And so Abraham had gone to Egypt. Out of Egypt, I called my son, the prophetic word over Jesus. Joseph escaped to Egypt. The genocide brought by Herod, Joseph escaped to Egypt. So Egypt is this place, it was like a refuge. But he tells him, you don't go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. Everybody say, don't go to Egypt. It's really a picture of, well, it reminds me of Peter. They didn't know what they're going to do. The outpouring hadn't taken place, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. Some of you have plan C, plan B. So if God doesn't come through for you for plan A, you're going to be like, I'm just go back to where I was working before, what I was doing before. We have a principle of burn the canoes, burn the ships. Don't ever go back to Egypt. Don't go back. God calls you to do what you're doing. Do not second guess. Move forward. Charge ahead with the word of the Lord. So he was going to move to Egypt, but the Lord said, no. The God spoke to him and said, stay in the land. I want you to say that. Stay in the land. You know, your best life is not necessarily sitting with the perfectly crafted coffee with just the right amount of foam and a little cinnamon on top and a perfectly toasted avocado toast right there. And then you just get your phone out and you're like, yes. That's not the perfect life. The perfect life doesn't necessarily mean that you have no difficulty. In fact, if you don't have difficulty, I wonder if you're really doing anything for God. Because when you start moving forward in the things of God, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have difficulty. Consider it not strange, says James. You face all kinds of fiery trials. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Persecution is something that'll come to you. And I mean more than somebody cutting you off and giving you the single finger salute. And you say, well, I've got a Christian fish on the back. I know that's why they cut me off. Uh-huh. I'm talking about real persecution. You get saved, you get born again in China. Well, they're pretty much sure they're going to lose their lives for getting born again and living for Christ. They've settled it already. So many people don't forge ahead in their Christian walk. They go back to Egypt. They don't stay in the land. I learned something years ago here at King's. Many years ago, I've been a part of this church basically since I got saved. And what I learned is there's nowhere else to go. As crazy as it might be, my father had a pair of cowboy boots with a roping heel. How many of you know what a roping heel is? It's angled so it digs into the dirt a little bit when you're calfing or roping or whatever. And I didn't come from a cowboy family, but, you know, roping family. But he had these boots, and I remember as a kid looking at them. I remember staring at the heel and saying, what's the heel for? Why is it on an angle like that? And they said, well, when you're roping, you know, your heel goes in and it digs into the ground. All these years later, I get gloriously saved, and I have all kinds of obstacles that make me just want to quit and go back to Egypt, want to throw in the towel. And I'm weeping in an altar. And the Lord speaks to me and says, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here. And I have a vision of a cowboy boot with the heel. Stay here, dig in, and don't go anywhere. And he just dropped in my heart. There's nowhere to go. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You're going to go back to your old life? You're going to go back to your old ways? I mean, really? Was it really that great? It really wasn't. You say, well, it's hard being a Christian. No, hard is the way of the transgressor, but we do go through difficulties. And it's okay. Everybody say, stay in the land. Stay in Christ. Stay in the kingdom. Don't quit. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? And there are times in your life where you're in the perfect will of God, and you're on a ship called Andromeda, and it's sinking. And it has 238 souls on board. I think that's the right number. It's the book of Acts. Paul. Was he in the will of God? He's in the will of God. The boat is sinking. Can God trust you in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your famine, in the midst of that which you're going through, you don't know how to make it out? Can he trust you to stay steadfast? Can he trust you to declare the word of the Lord? Even though you might even die in that moment, he could trust Paul like that. And Paul comes out with the word of the Lord, and it says, the God whom I serve came and stood next to me and spoke to me, and nobody will be lost, only stay with the boat. And no souls were lost. The boat was lost. Nor'easter took it out. God gave Isaac these precious promises. There's five of them. I would highly encourage you to write them down. But they're keys. They're keys of how to move forward into this next season. I do not know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen economically. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there could be another pandemic. Somebody said, oh, it's already being designed, whatever. Aren't you afraid? No, I'll go to heaven when it's time for me to go to heaven. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to turn back to pablum and be a little sissy Christian. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Wow. Five promises right in the text. I will be with you. I will be with you. You see that, it reminds me of Joseph. We did a beautiful series on Joseph, and it reminded me of how everything that Joseph went through, he went to the pit, he went to Potiphar's house, he was then trapped by Jezebel with another name, he ended up in prison, and then he became the second in command. And at every one of those junctures, when he was in the pit, God was with him. When he was sold into slavery, God was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, God was with him, and God multiplied him over and over and blessed him. It does not matter, please hear me. It does not matter if banks begin to go down. It does not matter what happens in the economy. It does, what matters is if God is with you, it's gonna be all right. Come on, somebody. If he's not with you, you're in trouble. Genesis 39:2, the Lord is with Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous, verse 6. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Everybody say, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yes, but don't ever forget that you can leave him, honey. You can leave him, sir. You can turn heel and run like a yellow-bellied sapsucker and abandon the plan of God and abort the will of God. You can leave him. Isn't that awesome? Joshua 1 and 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. When we were at the springs of En Gedi in Israel, I was there with Hank and numerous other folks, and it was profound. It was a place where David had his stronghold and was running before he was coronated king over Judah and then all of Israel. And these springs were there, and we went to the spring. It's very possible that David drank from the same spring. And I remember going up to that spring, and I remember drinking from the spring, and the Lord spoke to me and said, as I was with David, I'm with you. I will always bring you through. And I just drank from that thing. I said, let's do it. Come on, you've got to get that down in your spirit. You've got to get it down in your spirit. It does not matter. No famine, no pestilence, no difficulty. There is no obstacle. There is nothing that can stop a man of God, a woman of God on fire with a vision when God is with them. When God's with you, you're going to make it. Come on, bump your neighbor and say you're going to make it if God's with you. He goes on to say that I will bless you. My, my, my. I will bless you. How many of you want the blessing of God? Yeah, the blessing of God. More precious to me than anything else, walking with him, living in the blessing. I will give you all of these lands to your descendants. Now that's profound. The way Abraham lived, and you see it in the text, it says, because of Abraham, because of your forefather, the way that Abraham lived actually released the blessing on Isaac. You know, that's kind of important. Why is that? Because the way that you live affects your entire children, all of your kids. It not only affects them, one day she'll have kids. Many years from now, it affects them. Literally, the blessing of God is passed down from generation to generation of those who love God, and the curse can also be passed down. Abraham lived for God. He obeyed God. He made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He yielded to fear. At times, he did things that were just crazy. God protected him. He was so afraid and didn't trust the Lord that he had his wife basically potentially commit adultery. Isaac does the same thing with his wife. Is that crazy? You see this generational thing, and I see generational patterns in my life. I see generational patterns in your guys' life. You think it doesn't matter that you showed up tonight at a Sunday night? This is not just showing up at a Sunday night. This is patterning for your kids, for their future generation, what it is to serve God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your strength. They see you when you pull out your device and you tithe. They see you when you give. They see you when you pray. They see you when you turn the other cheek. They see you what you're doing, and you are releasing the blessing of God on your life and your family and the future generations, or you're releasing the curse. Let's praise the Lord for a second. Amen. Praise God. Come on, all across this place, take a praise break. Wow. I will multiply your descendants. I will multiply your descendants. I mean, he's basically giving the same promise that he gives to Abraham, to Isaac, because the promises of God are generational. They're passed down. All the nations will be blessed through your offspring. So God's promise was passed down from Abraham now to Isaac. Genesis 19 is a favorite scripture of ours in our family. And the context is, I think we'll go there. Go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Oh, I'm sorry, 18. It was close. Verse 19, thank you. Listen to this text. It is a favorite of ours in the Bracken family. This, the context is God's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Lord's there with angels, and they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're having a conversation, and they say this: "For I've chosen him. Should we tell him what's about to happen?" Go to verse 17. Y'all there? I want you to go there. Go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Let's go, boys. Memorize the Bible already? If you'd lay hands on me at the end of service, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. It's hard for me to memorize all of Scripture. Oh yeah, I'm harassing you. Bring your Bible. It's important. Have a device. A device is fine, but if you don't have anything... Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. All right, watch this. Genesis, love you. 18, verse 17. "Then the Lord said, shall we hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" What do you mean? I mean, wiping out and bringing judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. "Abraham will become a great and powerful nation, and all the nation of the earth will be blessed through him." Watch this. "For I've chosen him." What did he do? He chose him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Fantastic. The promise of Abraham that he would bless all the earth and more descendants than all the stars. I will bless you. And he says, we're going to show Abraham what we're doing because he needs to teach and instruct his children, showing them what's right, showing them what's wrong, because otherwise the blessing won't be passed down and I will not be able to fulfill, says the Lord. I won't be able to fulfill the promise to Abraham because his children will fail. The generational blessing is a big deal. What are you passing down to your kids? Sure is quiet. God's promise is passed down to the next generation because of the obedience of Abraham. Because of Abraham's obedience, Isaac was blessed. And Isaac stayed in the land, which is profound. He stayed. He obeyed. He obeyed God. He planted crops, gave them 100-fold. How do you plant crops in a famine? Anybody seen that movie, Faith Like Potatoes? If you have not seen them, write it down, put it on your device. Faith Like Potatoes is a powerful, powerful story. There's one part where a kid dies if he's sitting on a tractor. It's very upsetting. You can skip that part. That's not conducive to family. It's upsetting. But the other part is amazing. In Faith Like Potatoes, is he plants a field, and there's no way. It's never going to grow. It's wrong. All the conditions are wrong, you know, on and on and on. But faith. Faith causes things to turn around. Faith causes 100-fold to be released. Confident assurance of what you cannot see. You know why I am not worried, not one iota. Is that a word? One little itty-bitty smidgen. I'm not concerned one bit about this building, the cost of this building. I've had friends of mine say, whoo, $28 million, man. You must be feeling the pressure of that. And the truth is, I am not. You know why? It wasn't my idea. I mean, that seems a lot for me, man. If it was my, I'd have keeled over long ago if it was my idea. Well, I'm just like a mailman. I'm just trying to obey. So this is you. This was your idea. So, Lord, it'd be awesome. How are you going to pay it off? Fantastic. Go, God. All I got to do is obey. All I have to do is obey. The pressure's not on me to do it. My God, that'd crush a human being. No, it all belongs to the Lord. So all Isaac had to do was obey and stay in a place of faith. Some of you are so double-minded. A double-minded man in the book of James is unstable in all his ways. What does it mean to be double-minded? It means at one moment you're like, yes, God, 100-fold, yes. And then the next second is, what are we going to do? Oh, God. Oh, he's going to leave us. Oh, and then you're like back and forth. You're full of faith when you're in here with all the beautiful screens and the nice seats and all that. And then I'm screaming and spitting on you. And it's, yes, it's all exciting. And then you get out and one little discouraging report. And you just want to throw in the towel. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have sowed that big seed. I shouldn't have made that. You're double-minded. You need to slap the snot out of that wants to argue against what God. Don't doubt what God told you in the light. Don't doubt what he told when you're in the dark. Don't doubt it. His word will come to pass. And I've had times, I've told you many of them, I've had times where doubt just wants to crush me like a bug. Just the heaviness of oppression. And I just pray in the spirit and just start speaking. It's the same thing I was doing when I was freezing to death in the church truck. 16 years ago on the side of the Glen Allen Highway at 40, 50 below zero. Just started, you brought me here for a while. I got fear. I started going to sleep. Started thinking cotton kills, and don't go to sleep. Oh my gosh. I couldn't feel my body. I had a promise. And all of a sudden I said, hey, wait a minute. I can't die here. We got something to do and it didn't happen. God, you didn't bring me here to die on the side of the Glen Allen Highway. With like 10 people in the church that hate me. God, you didn't do that. And I just started declaring God in the same way. You said in the same way that there's a pipeline from the North Slope to Valdez. There's a pipeline where the golden oil of Zechariah will flow. I'm going to bring revival. I'm sending you to Alaska to be a part of it. I'm bringing in a great harvest. I'm going to do something that's amazing in the great Northland. Go. And that's how what brought us here. So in that moment of difficulty, you can be double-minded. You know, all I had to do is agree with cotton kills and I'm tired and go to sleep and I wouldn't be standing here. And there's moments in this project, the same thing. When you get a word from God, which we'll talk about in just a moment. When you get a word from God, you stand on that thing. You get in it. You own it. And you mow down the opposition like a howitzer or a 50 caliber. Da, 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 da. Ah! Da, 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 da. God's going to bring about his word. Da, 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 da. Oh, he's with me. Da, 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 da. Woo! Da, 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 da. Come on, somebody say da, da, da. Let's have a praise break. Woo! Hallelujah. at this. He says he became wealthy, and then it says he became very wealthy. Why would the word say that? I want to say this to you, that a byproduct of the kingdom is provision. And before you start looking down your nose at me, provision is having what you need when you need it. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a gigantic bank account, but it could also include that. Provision, when you live for God, you will have what you need. When you live for God, He will give you what you need when you need it. Can you say a better amen? Amen. Provision is what God releases to His people that obey. How many of you know you can have all the money in the world, but the provision you would need is to be protected from a global pandemic or protected? You have all the money in the world to have a massive car accident that kills you. What good would your money do? Provision. Supernatural provision from God is a byproduct of living for Him. It just is. And it says He made him very wealthy. You know, you might be saying tonight, well, I don't have a lineage of Abraham. I didn't come from a long line of godly men and women. I come from a long line of reprobates. So what about me, Pastor? Change your lineage tonight. Change. You can be the first Abraham. You could be the first one. You could be the first one that says, oh, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-uh. Not tonight, Satan. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to obey God. And I might have come from a long line of reprobates, prostitutes, and pimps, but I'm changing that tonight. I'm changing my lineage tonight. I'm being grafted in. I'm going to get grafted. I'm getting adopted. Da, 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 da. Interesting, in verse 18, these family wells were stopped up, and that is a plan of the enemy, is to cut off generational blessings. It's a base stratagem for annoying those who want to move forward in that culture, was to stop up their wells. Because if you can stop the wells and you couldn't get them to grow, you couldn't survive without water. You know, we have so much water. It's interesting to me that water would be the thing that would try to hinder us from moving into this building, because water is a picture of life. Water is a picture of the Spirit. Water is a picture of the Word. It's interesting to me that there would be a lack of water. There's no lack of water. Come on, somebody say, there's no lack of water. It says Isaac reopened, he had his servants reopen those wells. And verse 22, he reopened the wells and he dug a new one. This new well is called Rehoboth, which means enlargements or room enough. I'll never forget years ago, Chuck Pierce, Prophet Chuck Pierce, who we've known for many years, and he was ministering at our cathedral there in the islands. And I will never forget him coming off of the platform after preaching from this text, in actual fact. He high-fives me, burns a hole burns a hole with his piercing prophetic eyes and says, build a new well. It hit me like a ton of bricks. All I could think about is, build a new well. Came back to Alaska, talked about dig a new well. Some of you need to dig a new one. Dig a new well. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, it's time to dig a new well. How will you respond? How will you respond in this next season? Keys, please, worship team. In fact, worship team, if you could just get a dig a new well song, that'd be great. How will you respond in this next season? Will you allow fear to grip you? What are you saying next season? Everything's good. It is good. It is. I don't know what's coming down the pike. I only know that God's on the throne. The devil's been defeated. I also know that no matter what comes near us, what comes towards us, we're going to make it. We're going to overcome. We'll have more than enough. I think I shared back from the scissor lift days I had a moment of fear when we're not done with our building. We didn't know how we were going to get through it. COVID hits. People are freaked out. Everybody's saying shut the church down, which we disobeyed. Glory. Can't shut down that which is eternal. Can you say amen? And I remember going into prayer and going, okay, God, now, are we good? Is everything good? Because pandemic and everything, building's not done. Are we good? Really, Lord, I need a word from you right now. And God spoke to me and dissipated all of my concerns and said, you haven't missed anything. You're right on time. You're going to get right through this. You'll go through this. This will pass. You will finish the building. You will move in, and I will send you that great revival I told you about all those many years ago. Everything's fine. Don't worry about anything. And here we are. Gonna dig a new well, yes. All right, that's kind of a joke. Just don't sing that one. How will you respond? Listen, if you can't have fun in church, there's something wrong, okay? Be like, oh, just. Go home twice as dead as when you came in. It's okay to have fun in church. Let's all sing that together. Gonna dig a new well. Okay. All right. Just kidding. Get a word from God. Everybody say, get a word from God. You'll notice that that's what happened with Isaac. He didn't just, you know, do nothing. God spoke to him. You need a word from God for this next season. We have one church-wide. It's time for elevation. I want you to say that. It's time for elevation. I can't hear you. How about on the front row? It's time for elevation. It's time for elevation. That's a word from God. God will speak to you in every circumstances of your life. You just have to learn how to get a word from God. For those of you that have Bibles tonight, why don't you hold those up to the Lord? That could be a device. I love what Jesse Duplantis says. Jesse Duplantis says this, the whole thing is rhema. How many of you know what rhema is? Rhema is a word for it's one note, hit one note. Hit it again. Hit about 5 or 6 times. Okay, now play the rest of your notes. Dun, 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 dun. Hit it again. Rhema is one note in a whole piece of music. Rhema is one wave in a sea, in an ocean of waves. This is filled with the living word. And all you got to do is get in it. I'm telling you, God wants to talk to you in your quiet time that you never have when you never open this up. Here's a word for you. And when you get it, it'll be like, you say, well, how do I get one of those? I'll just tell you, it's so easy. It's almost, it's so childlike and easy and simple. Maybe to make it hard. Just take your Bible. And I do prefer, this is nice. I do prefer the paper ones. It's funny when I'm really going through trial and challenges and trials. I'm going for my old leather Bible. Sit down, say, God, I need a word from you right now for today, for this season, for my family, for my mother, for my father, for my brother, for my sister. I need a word. I need you to speak to me. And you get in the word and you begin to read it. And you know, you can start anywhere. I do not do the plunk method. Oh God. Judas hung himself. I knew it. Don't do that. Everybody say, don't do that. No, really. I just do that. I just go like that and I look and there it is. Yeah, that's a very poor way of hearing from God. Learn to live his principles. Learn to live the precepts of God. Learn to live his word, the whole thing. But I will tell you, it does happen where God can speak to you. As I was struggling one day, complaining as I was getting discipline. I was in my 20s and the wind was blowing and I was doing mandated yard work. And I kept walking by this Bible and the pages would blow. Fine, it happened so many times. Like I'd walk, like literally three or four times. On the fourth time I said, fine. And I went and looked, it stopped blowing. I looked and I kid you not, in the Proverbs it says, he who hates discipline is stupid. So he can do that. But mostly, get in the Word on a daily basis. Read the Word, say, God, I need you to speak to me. And I'd read the Old Testament, but read the New. Get to know who Jesus is. Get in the Word. Everybody say, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Isaac had a word from God. And don't just do it alone. Get a word from God and then share it with those who you're in relationship with that know God. Get connected to people that know God 10 times bigger than you. I talked to Dr. Morocco today and yesterday and the day before. When the Lord speaks to me about things, I share it with him. He shares things with me. We pray. He's my pastor. And I'm amazed that I happen to be on his staff. Get a word from God and weigh that. Pray into it. When you get a word from God, there's nothing that can stop you. Not one thing. Not one thing. You can stop you. He'll never leave you or forsake you, but you can leave or forsake him. Everybody say, get a word from God. Don't allow yourself to be carried along by the winds of life. You have dominion. You have authority. Can I preach in here? You have authority. You're God's precious and chosen people. Don't be blown away by circumstances. When you show up, things change. It doesn't matter what circumstance you might find yourself in. If you will go, God being with you, he can change things. The report that you might have gotten by the doctor, they're just practicing medicine. God bless all the physicians. Amen. I believe in modern medicine. Thank God for modern medicine. Amen. But they're just practicing. And there comes times when they just don't know. You know who knows? God. You know who's able to heal it? God. You know who's able to bring a breakthrough? God. No matter what Philistine comes your way, you get a word from God and God can turn it around. Can you say amen? Plant a seed. What do you mean? Plant a seed. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Plant a seed. Well, I remember when I didn't own a house and I started believing for one. And so the seed for me was get up and start looking for one. I remember back all the way back those years ago, I had to fix my credit. I had some challenges. Had to straighten out some IRS stuff. I didn't come into this place glistening with oil, walking on water. I know that might be surprising for some of you. We had to work things out. He trained our hands for war. And I love saying that. So I've had people say, you're way too transparent. Are you kidding? It's beautiful to hear that because some of you are so broken, you think there's no way. Oh, he's pastor. What are you talking about? I used to drink out of mud puddles. I got to move on. I don't want to get too much into it. I was really thirsty. It was a long time ago. And I didn't know Jesus. You can make it. If God did it for me, for God's sake, he can do it for you. Oh, he can. So we began to fix our credit, begin to look for a house. It was miraculous what God did. Faith, planting a seed, planting a seed. He said, well, I want a house, but I don't have the kind of job to pay for it, and I don't have the kind of credit. Oh, stop making excuses. Just start looking for what kind of house you want. Oh, I want a 75. Oh, come on. You live in a one-bedroom apartment right now. How about believe God to pay your own mortgage on a one-bedroom house? How about that? Was that a good start? I mean, I don't know where your faith is at, but you start stretching in that area, and you start looking, and you start praying. And you be a tither, and you be a giver, and you live right, and start looking about how you can release more resources. Do you know there are millionaires being made every day online? My daughter's become a social media influencer, and she's making a ridiculous living. No, seriously, I'm like, wow. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. Don't say you can't. Say I can through Christ. I can do it.
Don't say I'm not able. Say I'm presently in this position, but God is going to promote me. He's going to elevate me. Stretch your faith. Start taking steps of faith. Take steps of faith. He said, but every relationship I have is broken and nobody likes me. Get some counseling. It's you. It's not them. It's you. Get it delivered. Nobody likes me. And I can't advocate because you're mean. You're mean. Get healed. You're bitter. You're angry. Get healed. Nobody even wants to take me for a cup of coffee. Get delivered. Get healed. Get sanctified. Get set apart. Get set on fire. Pray. Say, well, I've got ADD. I've got HD ADD. That's high def. High def ADD. It's a special, special touch. So I'm dyslexic and I can't spell. Yeah, me too, but I hire people to do that for me. I'm trying to help you. You can make it. Don't make excuses. Get some faith and move forward. But it also means sowing a financial seed too. It means sowing a seed of faith in every area of your life. Everybody say so. And so you can just relax. Currently, I don't have plans on taking an offering, but I might change my mind by the end. Everybody say, plant a seed. The Lord spoke to me to do some things tomorrow, and I believe that through some of those steps of faith, He's given me an unusual set of things that I need to do in my time tomorrow. And I believe that in doing those, there's going to be a release of provision, miraculously, for me. God blesses my socks off. Don't you point the finger. Didn't come from you. I'm on a fixed salary. But I'm telling you, God's going to bless me. God is going to, you know, build your house. You'll build your house. Don't worry about the cost of lumber and the percentage rate and all that. I'm telling you, I'm giving you money, says the Lord. Make the plans, get the plans, stake it out. Do when the spring comes, get your vanilla booties out there and stake that place where you want it. Begin to do what you can, move in faith and watch what God does. You will see that house built. It's the prophetic word. It's the Ponderosa extension plan. It's God. What are you believing for? God wants to elevate you. You got to dig a new well, and I'll close with this. There's a time when God, if you'll position yourself, He will demonstrate His power on your behalf. But if you don't position yourself, you can miss it. I do not want to miss what God wants to do. And there's times when I don't understand and I'm uncomfortable about things. And I'll tell you, one of the things I've found for me is some of the greatest breakthroughs have come for me in the Bracken home when I'm extremely irritated. And I think I have like a demon of irritation will just follow me around to get me to try to just blow it right at the last second. This property would not exist if it wasn't for Dan. We wouldn't be in it if it wasn't for Junior here on the base, my son, Daniel. He insisted that we come. Can I tell you, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was come to this property that was a reminder of that which we could have had, which was totally impossible. And now somebody else owns it and we're on Lucille Street and I don't know what we're going to. Oh, and I don't want to go there. I was tired. I wanted a nap. It was Monday. I had a list of excuses. And I go back to my little shack that I was staying at and just go to sleep. But somehow the Lord in the midst of that turned us and we ended up here and the rest is history. We're standing in it. And in one day, God gave the church $3 million worth of equity in one day, in one moment. And honestly, we could have sold it for $7 million. And then later on, as we were developing, I could have sold it for $9 million. It's not for sale. I had somebody say, just sell me the front part and build the church down in the hole.
And then you can build a church for free and then give me the whole front part. I said, it's not for sale. The best piece of property belongs to the King of Kings. The best view belongs to the kingdom of God. We're building it right here. I'm not for sale. We're not for sale. It's not about money. It's about obeying God. And you can miss the power to be demonstrated through you if you get discouraged and you throw in the towel and you begin to make all kinds of excuses. Stand up on your feet. Time to dig a new well. Come on, someone say it's time. Come on, say it's time to dig a new well. How do you do that? Through prayer, through worship, through your ongoing giving and tithing, through living righteously, through getting a word from God. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Oh, yes. Come on, all across this place. Lift your voice to God. Lift your voice to God. Lift your voice. God's speaking to people tonight. God's speaking to people online. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Oh, for those of you that want to be adopted into the kingdom, that maybe you came from a lineage that was less than desirable, a family that doesn't know God, step out from where you are and say this. And listen, even if you are serving God, but you realize, man, I need to be a better Abraham. Step out from where you are and come to the front. Make a declaration before God. I'm going to do my part to make room for my children and my children's children. I'm going to be a better Abraham. I'm not going to miss out. I'm not going to sell out. Some of you are like an Isaac. And you just need a word from God. You need a word from God in the midst of famine, in the midst of difficulty. How will you respond? Respond by throwing both feet in. Praying and worshiping, reading your word, and let God speak to you, and then settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart that you're going to go all the way. Going to go all the way for Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. Going all the way. Going to finish the race. Now you begin to talk to God. You go ahead and talk to Him. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, before we move any further ahead, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to be forgiven of your sin. You believe that He died on a cross and rose again from the grave. You want Jesus to come into your life for the first time. You've never done that before. You've never repented. You've never asked Jesus to forgive you. You've never received the gift of salvation that He offers freely to all who call upon His name. And you want to do that tonight. Or perhaps you're here and you have given your life to Jesus before, but you realize you've lost your fire and you've drifted and now you're in compromise. You're not seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. It's become a religious thing and it's just over here somewhere, but you find yourself in this house under this preaching tonight, and the Lord invites you to step out from mediocre Christianity. Step away from the famine of denominationalism and religiosity. Step away from that into the beautiful fields of the glory of God, His provision, blessing as you love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Recommit your life to the Lord. Give your heart to Jesus first time. Number two, you need to recommit your life to Christ. Number three, you just want to be assured of your salvation because the devil lies to you and you're not sure. All across this place, front to the back, left to the right, are those online in Kenya tonight, wherever you are right now, give your heart to Jesus, recommit, come home, sell out. Number three, just be sure. On the right side, all the way on this right side, from this half over on this right side, you want to get right with Jesus for the first time, you want to recommit, or you just want to be sure, just on this side right here, go ahead and lift your hand now. Do it now. Lift your hand high. God bless you, son. God bless you all the way in the back. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your honesty. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, son. I see that. Thank you. God bless you. Just the middle section right here. Just right down the middle. You want to get right with God. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You want to recommit. Slip your hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over the middle section. God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. On this whole left side of the church now, as you examine your heart, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Perhaps you want to recommit.
Or number three, you just want to be sure. Just on this left side of the church, if that's you, would you slip your hand up right now? Just lift your hand. God bless you. Thank you, sister. I see that hand back there. Lift your hand high. I see your hand. God bless you. All right, let's do this. If you raised your hand or you didn't, but you know you need to be included, I want you to come right here. If we could just make a little bit of room. If you didn't lift your hand, if you're here already, stay. Come on, church, would you put your hands together, for these are coming from all over. Come on. Come on from the right side, from the middle. Come on. Come on from the left side. Come all the way up. Meet me right here. There's other people that are coming with you. Come on, church, put your hands together. Come on. Gonna get right for the first time. Gonna sell out. Gonna recommit. Gonna just be sure. Come on. We can do a little bit better than that. Hallelujah. Come on, come as close to my hand as you can. Come on. God bless you. All right, pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, one more time. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Stick your hands up like you're getting arrested. Oh, it's a sign of surrender. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now. Breathe upon these. Breathe upon these now. Release your power. Release your power. Be filled. Be refreshed. Be encouraged. And I declare to you from this message, those online and those here, no matter what you face, all of your life, God will bring you through. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just get a word from God and do what Isaac did. Don't go back to Egypt. There ain't nothing back there. Don't go backwards. Go forward. Don't go a fishing. Dig a new well. Press in. Get faith. Get a word. Get in that thing. Dot, 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 dot. Just keep going forward. Tenacity. Grit. Don't quit. Get refreshed.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.